The 2026 NFL draft is officially in the books, and the Cincinnati Bengals have seven new players who I think can not only make the 53-man roster this year, but who can all have an impact on the 2026 season. I'm John Sheeran of A to Z Sports Cincinnati. This is A to Z Sports Cincinnati. If you are new to the channel, consider subscribing. We've already done a couple of draft recap shows with A to Z Sports as Ryan Roberts, and now we're going to talk about each and every pick that the Bengals made in the 2026 draft. And the week following the draft is always a bit interesting because sometimes there's a lot of copium in the air. Sometimes there's a lot of this raw justification as to why the Bengals did what they did in the draft, whether they went off the reservation or whether they sticked to the consensus board and they made a lot of wise decisions, right? There's a lot of talk and discourse about, you know, what these guys are going to be as rookies and maybe going forward beyond the current season. And sometimes the conversation gets a little bit muddied. I don't really feel that this year because I think all of the picks that the Bengals made make a lot of sense for when they made them in the draft. There are a couple of players that I think carry a little bit more risk than others, but I can see the path for all seven of these players to not only make the team, but I think can have actual roles this season. And don't you worry, we're going to dive into these guys as individuals a lot more in depth as the weeks proceed because it's, you know, going to be May and there's not going to be a ton to talk about necessarily with the team. But for this video, I'm going to give you guys one thought on each of the seven picks the Bengals made in the 2026 draft. I see no reason why Cassius Howe can't have a 2017 Carl Lawson type impact for the Bengals defense. And if you remember Carl Lawson as a rookie in 2017, he was a fourth round pick. He was 6'2", 260, who fell in the draft because of his awkward size and his short arms. And I believe he had a knee injury coming out of Auburn as well. But he had 8.5 sacks as a rookie, and he won on about 16% of his pass rushes. In comparison, Myles Garrett, who was also a rookie in 2017, won on 13% of his pass rushing snaps. And in his final year in college, Lawson won on 20.7% of his pass rushing snaps. And Howell was at 19.9% against the same level of competition. Howell is a little bit lighter. He's got even shorter arms, but his frame is completely maxed out. And I think there are even more ways that he can win, has proven to win as a pass rusher than Lawson. I'm not saying that Howell is going to replicate what Lawson did and get another 8.5 sacks a decade after Lawson did that as a rookie, but it would not surprise me if Howell ends up being one of the sack leaders of this Bengals defense as a rookie. My expectations for Dakario Davis are a little bit lower considering the fact that he needs to actually be on the field to make an impact, and the Bengals have their starting trio of cornerbacks already on the roster, but naturally Davis is going to play as a rookie as the fourth cornerback on the depth chart. That specific spot on the depth chart has averaged about 400 to 500 snaps a season for the Bengals going back to the 2021 Super Bowl team. And I have to say, looking closer into his profile, I was really impressed at his level of production as a 19-year-old true sophomore at Arizona back in 2023 when he led the Pac-12 in passes defense. I think the tape dropped a little bit in 2024 and there was some inconsistency still in Washington in 2025, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals saw someone who was still a teenager at the time producing high-quality numbers and high-quality tape as a 19-year-old against Pac-12 competition a couple of years ago, and they see him as probably a value fit at being 6'4", 200 pounds at the cornerback spot. When it comes to Connor Lue, there's something you have to consider about why he's even in the draft in the first place, because this guy was all freshman SEC in 2023 at just 18 years old, and he ends up tearing his ACL as a true junior, right, in the middle of a really promising collegiate career, really quality pass blocking production. Why did this guy with a year left of eligibility coming off of a knee injury, like only a couple months into that recovery, why did he decide to declare for the NFL draft? The only thing that I can think of is that he expected to be drafted within the first 100 picks. And the fact that he slid out of the fourth round not only surprised the Bengals, it probably surprised Lue as well. I just think for a 20-year-old center who's coming off of a major injury that takes 9 months to recover, for him to declare for the draft at all, I think it's really telling about what the NFL was telling him about how they feel about him and his ability. And I think as soon as you see him on the field and move the way that he can for a center, you'll be surprised that he lasted as long as he did as well. It perplexes me greatly the fact that Colby Young, who was 6'5", 220 pounds, and was not that far off in terms of size coming out of high school, was a zero-star recruit. The only thing that makes sense is that he's from New York, and New York didn't play high school football in 2020 due to COVID, so maybe he just got lost in the recruiting cycle and everything like that, and he ended up going the junior college route before eventually transferring to Miami in 2021. And after 2 years at Miami, I really do think there was a lot of promise about his trajectory as a college player. He was starting to become more productive in that offense. That was obviously before, you know, Carson Beck joined the team and everything like that. And then transferring to Georgia in 2024 was basically the beginning of his downfall, really, over the past couple of years, when he had that arrest that eventually was dismissed and dropped charges. And then he suffered a major knee injury last year. He fought like hell to come back and eventually play in the college football playoff. But I think everything started going downhill as soon as he left Miami. And it does make you think, like, sometimes these guys do transfer for the right reasons. And I think that's why you have to investigate why they end up jumping around from spot to spot. And maybe if he stayed in Miami, we would be talking about a completely different sort of player here. But the guy does move exactly like T. Higgins, and he's obviously built like him as well. So even if he doesn't beat out Andre Yoshivas as a starter this year, he's an ideal backup for one of the Bengals' best players. I've been thinking about it for 2 days, and I still can't find a good reason as to why Brian Parker fell all the way to the sixth round. On tape, the guy was no worse than the fourth rounder. And when you add in his athleticism, when you add in his pass blocking production, his run blocking production out of Duke, he should have been drafted within the first 100 picks. And I stand by that. If the Bengals would have taken him at 72nd overall, I would have applauded the pick. And I do try to reserve a lot of hype when it comes to sixth or seventh round picks, simply because being drafted that late does limit your chances of actually becoming a long-term starter, simply because the opportunity may just not be there. But when I think about the fact that Brian Parker has gone from center in high school to tackle in college, potentially back to center and guard in the NFL, that is a wild career path, and it speaks to both the athletic and the mental aptitude that he possesses at just 22 years old. If and when the Bengals suffer injuries along the offensive line, I expect him to be out there, and I expect him to be an asset in protecting Joe Burrow. If you heard Jack Endre's post-draft pick press conference, you heard how mad he was at falling all the way to the seventh round. And I totally get it. The guy was a walk-on at Cal after nearly going to Harvard, so his NFL career and NFL future was already pretty much up in the air. But he went from a walk-on at Cal in 1 year becoming a starting tight end, and then the year after that becoming the leading receiver in that entire offense at the tight end position. That is a very rare thing, but Fernando Mendoza obviously very much trusted him in that 2024 season. He almost follows Mendoza to Indiana in 2025, but then he decides to go to Texas, obviously a more prestigious and better overall program, and becomes a reliable option in Arch Manning's offense. So to go all the way from the bottom to the top at the college level to now falling all the way down to the seventh round and now fighting for a roster spot in a very deep Bengals tight end room, I totally understand why Jack Endre is pissed off entering his rookie season. And I think that mentality will serve him well in potentially beating out one of Tanner Hudson or Cam Grandy to get a spot in this tight end room. And finally, when it comes to Landon Robinson, there was a ton to like about his profile. He looks like a wrecking ball on tape. There's a lot of athleticism despite being a little bit undersized at 5'11", but it would not surprise me if the second half of his 2025 season was the reason why he fell all the way to the seventh round, because in the first half of the year, he was about as dominant of a pass rushing defensive tackle as you will find in college football. And then production just dropped off out of nowhere in the last half of the season. And I think teams are wondering where that first half version of him kind of went when the second half of the season started back up. He played against Cincinnati in the Liberty Bowl at the end of the year, and he had a decent performance in that game. But I think teams were a little bit weary about the end of his college career, and that's why he slipped a little bit. But the Bengals got incredible value nonetheless. I am a pretty big fan of this Bengals draft class. I think it has the potential to be even better than the 2023 draft that ended up producing Miles Murphy, DJ Turner, Chase Brown, Andre Yoshivas, Jordan Battle. Like, that class ended up being a lot better than what I expected it to be. And I think my expectations are a little bit higher, even if there are only seven picks in this draft. I think they took a little bit of a risk with Davis about a round earlier than they probably should have, but I understand taking an athlete at that size where they did. I think the same can be said about Colby Young, and I think there's a little bit of a concern about someone who's going to be 24 years old as a rookie without a lot of production to his name. But again, height, length, speed, I understand the traits, and I understand why he was taken where he was. But it would not surprise me if Cassius Howell ends up being one of the best pass rushers on this team immediately in terms of sack production. It would not surprise me if Dakario Davis plays a couple hundred snaps because of injuries at the cornerback position. It would not surprise me if Connor Liu looks like himself in the preseason and firmly earns his role as Ted Karras' backup. Hopefully he doesn't see the field, which means that Karras plays the entire season. It would not surprise me if Colby Young did push Andre Yoshivas as the third receiver and still get some snaps here and there along with Mitchell Tinsley behind the rest of the receiver room. Brian Parker being the sixth offensive lineman would not surprise me there either. Jack Andrews pushing Tanner Hudson off the roster would not surprise me. And Landon Robinson potentially pushing out either Chris Jenkins or McKinley Jackson would not surprise me. The Bengals needed a really good 2026 draft class following the free agency period that they had, and I think they hit it out of the park.